Hi, back here on OMF. We are live down here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. Time for our get-together with Bill Belichick. It's brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health. McFarland Energy, Frazier Engineering, great people doing great work. And by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. I won't ask you how you're doing. It's good to see you, by the way.
Yeah, Glenn. All right, Kristen.
Coach, how you doing? Yeah. Good.
All right. I hate to do it, but let's start with the last play as we're trying to figure out what happened. I'm sure you're trying to figure it out. I'm sure you've seen it a lot more today than we've seen it. Can we start with the personnel? Because a lot of people are questioning why Rob Gronkowski was out there and Devin McCourty was on the sideline, because it didn't look like there was a possibility of a Hail Mary from where Tannehill would have been throwing the football. So was that the personnel that you wanted, or was the a mix-up? Did something else happen?
No. That's look, obviously, the play didn't go the way we wanted it to go, so we'll just leave it at that. There's a lot of things that could have been better. We'll coach it better, and we'll play it better going forward. And that's true of a lot of the situational plays in the game yesterday. Both halves just weren't the way we wanted them. So hopefully we can do that better in the next opportunity.
Would it be different personnel at the end of the game? Unlike, you know, if they were thrown from the 40 or where they were, like as far as the Gronk stuff goes?
Well, it would depend. I don't know.
But had you ruled out a Hail Mary in that situation? Because you talked about your desperado and what you do, and obviously the lateral play is what they ended up doing. But in your mind, what were you thinking were the possibilities there for them?
Yeah, you know, they could do a lot of different things, so we have to be ready to defend all of them. It's not like it's just one play.
Did you guys so Gronk is in the game, and he's on, because I think I was just played the same position with you guys, and there was always like a point of no return, so to speak, where if the ball was on a certain yard line, I would be out of the game, knowing that there were probably the odds of them throwing more laterals than just throwing it deep would be a bigger percentage. Does that play into your decision to having Gronk on there based on just where the ball was, or did it even matter? Because he was lined up on the 15 on that play, so the odds of them making it into the goal line were probably slim.
Well, I mean, look, he was in there if they threw the ball down the field. You know, obviously, we didn't intend for it to end up the way that it did, but that's the way it ended up.
All right, the execution on it, because you talk about situations and how you work on Fridays and how you work in the off season, and I'm sure you've done this a million times with that play. Was it angles? Was it poor tackling?
Yeah, we just got to coach it better and play it better. It's obviously it wasn't good enough.
So, Coach, there's a couple different philosophies on the last play of the game. Some guys, some defensive coordinators will blitz the quarterback just so they don't have any time and, like, just kind of surprise them. You guys rush three. I think Kyle Van Noy was he a rusher, or was he a spy?
Well, it would depend on what the play was.
Do you think it's better for to let the quarterback sit back there and just let your guys play defense and make tackles, or at what point in time would you say, you know, let's just pressure them and force the issue?
Blitz in that situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's really the thing you want to do.
So, I'm just saying,
I mean, look, we talked about this all day. It's in the end, the play didn't go the way we wanted to. We got to do a better job with it. We will. And, you know, it's really about the end of it. I mean,
well, it is frustrating. And maybe it's a credit to the organization that we don't see an awful lot of these. There are other organizations that see them a lot more than we do. And that's why it's kind of, it just seems so out of place from what we've seen with your team. Over the years. That's why we're asking about the personnel. And is there anything?
Look, you can go through it all you want. I mean, I'd say that's the least of our problems in this game. So, I mean, we got a lot of the things we need to do better, and that's certainly that was a big issue, but there's a lot of other things in this game that weren't good enough either. So,
well, let me ask about
that's one of many. So
the other one, I think the other people talk about the end of the first half. You know, Tom, he admitted he made a mistake. He thought he might have had a timeout left. But is that something to where, I mean, it's Tom Brady, right? Do you still feel like you know, Josh, whoever's in his ear, still has to remind him you have no timeouts? Or is that just a mistake that you don't see from him often?
Well, yeah, I mean, Tom doesn't make very many mistakes. Certainly didn't make many yesterday. I thought he played really well. But we didn't handle the situation at the end of the half, in the first half, very well either. So we just didn't do a good job in those either at the end of either half.
How does the communication work? Is Josh constantly communicating with him as far as, you know, informing him, okay, second down, third down, just burn our last time out? Even though you would probably assume that he would know what the situation is, just to make sure, would that communication be going back and forth between Josh and Tom?
Yeah, of course. As the situation changes, yeah. We started the series with one timeout. We used the timeout, and we went to no timeouts.
Does he have the ability just to, I guess, which I'm sure he does, to manage that as he deems fit, regardless of the information, based on circumstances changing?
There are certain fundamental things that we want to do. Each situation is a little bit different. What the down is, what the yard line the ball's on, so forth. But yeah, we have certain things we fundamentally try to do in those situations, we've done well plenty of times, but not yesterday.
All right, let me ask you about some of the other issues in the course of the game. Miami was 1 of 7 in third down situations. Talk about how deceiving a box score is. When you look at this box score, it's unbelievable. But they're 1 of 7, mainly because they did all their damage on first and second downs. They had 3 very short drives in which they scored, and they ran the ball at will yesterday against your defense. This seems to be a consistent thing with your defense on the road. We don't see it necessarily here at home. Is there an issue? Is there a difference, Bill, playing the defense on the road versus playing it at home?
Yeah, well, it wasn't good yesterday, and it was 5 drives, not 3. Yeah, when you give up big plays, then that negates third down. So this is 2 weeks in a row. I think you saw it last week.
Yeah.
So it's 2 weeks in a row where we haven't defended the run very well. Yeah, we didn't run the ball well yesterday. So I'd say that was a big issue in the game. It wasn't one play. That was 30-some runs on our side and however many it was for them.
You know, the end of the game, it's fourth down. Well, it was first and goal at the 7. You run it 3 times, you get 3 yards. Clock's ticking. I want to say there's, 21 seconds left. How much thought did you guys give to actually trying one more play to score a touchdown to really put it out of reach?
A little bit, but at that point, I mean, a field goal beat you. So, and you saw the Pittsburgh play yesterday, too. It's the same thing. And then you get beat on a field goal. So could have gone that way, but you know, I think 7 seconds to go after the kickoff return and one play, you know, that should have been okay too.
You know, defensively, you talked about the struggles of stopping the run. Did that open up a lot in that secondary? It seemed like Kenny Stills was like the one guy that kind of beat you. When you give up what you did in a run, is that what opens that up for guys running out in the secondary?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of the runs were big play runs, so that was really the issue. I mean, they hit a lot of, you know, they hit some big play runs, and that's, you know, we got to eliminate those. I mean, it's one thing to go 4 or 5 yards, 8 yards, but you know, you start giving up 50 yarders, that's a serious problem, and you know, we got to get that fixed.
So, Gordon has been playing really well. It's his third straight game where he's really been real consistent. Gronk had another great game, another good game. Edelman, are you happy overall, other than the fact that you struggled a little bit to run, well, a lot to run the football, are you happy with the progress of those three guys, and specifically Gordon, 3 straight games of really being consistent?
Yeah, well, again, yeah, we did some things well. We did things well in all 3 areas of the game. But, you know, when you're 3 for 6 in the red area and don't score from the 24-yard line, like those, that's not good. So we moved the ball. We didn't finish some drives. We left points on the field offensively. Talked about some of the issues on defense. Missed some scoring opportunities in the kicking game. So we just, you know, we in all the areas we missed opportunities, and in the end, all those things cost us.
You know, Gronk was a big topic all week with his play and how he's looked in the field. He looked outstanding in this game. Was that something different for you, or have you sort of seen this Rob Gronkowski now in the last few weeks, sort of building up to a game like this?
Yeah, Rob's practiced for the last 3 weeks, three and a half weeks. He's been out there.
Two block punts, both of them, Albert McClellan. Obviously, you saw something in him when you picked him up earlier this year. It forced their punter to kind of change what they were doing. He was kind of running and punting on the run yesterday because of his fear after the first two. Is that what you saw with McClellan when you, as a good special teams player like that?
He played in the kicking game and played defensively for the Ravens. Right. He started, 16 games in 2016 or 14 games, whatever it was. So, he has had a solid role for us, and both defensively and in the kicking game. And those are both big plays where he's able to beat Denny on the snap. And then, as you mentioned, they changed the rugby, the rugby punts. Kicked a couple short ones on that. But that was, we put ourselves in good field position there twice. Unfortunately, we're only able to capitalize on it once. So, we just got to take better advantage of those opportunities.
You know, we talk about playing on the road, and it's been somewhat of a struggle for you guys. Look differently at home than on the road. Everybody keeps talking about mental toughness. Is this one of those games where it looked like it was going to, be a W, gets taken to you late? Is that something that concerns you, the toughness on this team, with how you play on the road compared to where you play at home? The mental toughness part of it.
Yeah, no, I think our team has good mental toughness and is resilient. I think there are other things we just, I don't think it would have mattered if we were at home or away. We just didn't do them well enough yesterday the way they need to be done. Again, that's coaching and playing. We've got to do a better job of coaching. We've got to do a better job of playing.
I mean, this game, a loss like this, is such a kick to the gut. Like, what is, and I'm sure everybody's feeling just down and just, irritated, frustrated. Like, what do you tell the guys in order to just, pick their spirits up, as far as not the end of the world? Like, what's the message to them so they don't feel sorry for themselves?
Yeah, I don't think that's our mentality at all. Look, it's the National Football League, so nobody died. Got a big game this week against Pittsburgh. We got a two-game lead in the division. I mean, there's a lot of football left in the season. So, see how it goes.
I don't think you're a real superstitious type of person. Maybe you are. You seem to be pretty logical about stuff. And yet you've got this run now of 17 years in Miami where something always happens, Bill. Did you spend any time at all, and I know you've got different personnel in that locker room than you've had in past years, but did you spend any time at all sitting there talking about the urgency of we really have to focus? Something happens with us when we play on that field down in Miami.
Well, we play against a good football team, and no doubt we knew that. We knew that going in there, and Miami played well. Came down to the final play of the game, and that's the type of game we expected. That's the type of game we prepared for. That's what we expected it to be. That's what it was.
I'm just curious, what goes through your mind when you guys score a touchdown, yet you look out there and you see Tom Brady sitting on the field? I don't know if he's talked about adjusting his knee and had to do with his knee brace, but just as a coach, and you sit there, you scored a touchdown, and there's Brady lying on the field and trainers are going out.
Well, when Tom came off, I talked to him for a minute, and he seemed fine, so.
Nope. All right, well, so we're going to end it up. We're going to end it up with the Mercedes-Benz drive / question of the week. We have changed this. We've added question of the week because sometimes drive of the week is a little too boring for me. So the question of the week is, do you think you've created a monster with James Devlin, consistently giving him the ball and him allowing him to score touchdowns? I mean, it's...
Possibly.
Yeah. Is he, coming to you now, asking,
listen? No, James is pretty quiet. He's not that type. James, any role you give him, he'll do. He'll go into the corner for the puck, and he'll stand in front of the net and bang it in, or whatever you need him to do. He's always willing to do it.
It's dirty
great, great team. Yep, he can do the dirty jobs, and he can spike the ball if he needs to. So No, he's a great teammate and very unselfish player and works hard, and he's very tough. So it's a great guy to have on our team.
All right, one final thing. What's this week like? This is a team you're familiar with. Are they any different than you've seen in the past? You know them well.
They hit the quarterback a lot. I think they're right at the top of the league in sacks, so they've gotten a lot of pressure from their front. Very explosive offensively, and we've seen that. You know, Connor's had a great year for him. Not sure exactly what his status is, but I'm sure that everybody and anybody that can be ready to go in this game will be there on both teams. So, we'll see how it goes. But certainly we have a lot of respect for Pittsburgh, and they're strong in every area of the game. And we'll need to play well. Last year's game came down to same thing, final play. So, sure to be tough up there like it always is.
All right. Should be a good one. Conversation with the Coach brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners, committed to an active game plan on the field and off. All right, Bill, have a better week.
All right, sounds good. Right. Thanks, Glenn, Chris, and Lou. Thank you.
See you later. Bill Belichick right here on OMF.